This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Ephesians 6:14 through 20 in a message entitled The Armor of the Christian Believer, Part 2.
Ephesians chapter 6, please. Just a couple announcements. You've got a little card. Excuse me, we'll have Christmas Eve services. There'll be two services, one at 5 and 7. Use this as an invite. Invite somebody that you know and love, and invite somebody that may not be as lovable, but that would be good, you know, just to do that. And next Sunday, we'll also have a Christmas message, so it's going to be a good time to invite somebody there, so you have that. And Wednesday night service this week will be in the book of Exodus, as Tracy Gray will be teaching this Wednesday. God is good, amen? Amen. Truly is good. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're coming to the end of the book of Ephesians. I don't know about you, but it's been a wonderful journey. I love this book. I truly love this book. So we've been at it for months now. If you're visiting today, we go through the Bible from Matthew all the way through Revelation on Sunday morning. And then in Wednesday nights, we go from Genesis to Malachi on Wednesday nights there. In other words, Malachi, okay? We go through that word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. So we will be underneath the teaching of the whole counsel of God. And then we are forced to deal with all the issues that the Lord has given us through Scripture. So it's a beautiful thing. We've been looking here in Ephesians chapter 6 at, as you see on the screen there, the armor of the Christian believer. Last week, we looked at part one, and then we're going to look at part two today. As we look at part two, we're going to break it down into two areas. If you're taking notes, the first one is, as we see there on the screen, the soldier's armor. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And then we also, after that, as we close out this message, we're going to look at the supernatural provision that is given to us and prayer. Now, again, reflect upon what we have done. We have looked in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2 and chapter 3, at over 50 blessings that are ours because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's far more than 50, but we've looked there in Scriptures at a little over 50 blessings that we see. And it's important for us to understand that. Those blessings are there. Then Paul has taken us through chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and then he said, because of these blessings, be who you are in Christ Jesus, then we get the privilege to imitate God, to walk. And he gave us 10 areas how we are to walk as Christians. And then, as we finish that out, he started that in chapter 4, verse 1, through chapter 6, verse 9. Then we got into this area, two-part, that we're looking at, the whole armor of God, or the armor of the Christian believer, part 1 and part 2. And then 2 weeks from now, we'll end out, after Christmas, we'll end the rest of chapter 6. But it's important for us to realize today, because of the blessings that he's given us, because of the call that's on our lives to live as Christians, today he gives us the full armor of God. We cannot fulfill what he has for us. We cannot walk in the blessings, I don't believe fully, that he has for us, unless we have the full armor of God on. It's very important for us to realize that. And as you will see, part two, we will see the full armor of God is only on us fully as we learn to pray. And we pray for each other. We pray for ourselves. We pray for leadership. We pray as Paul will encourage us to pray here. So it's very important for us today to understand the full armor of God and the importance it is to each and every one of us. The soldier's armor, verses 14 through 17, and then the supernatural provision, which is prayer. Let's start in verse 10 and review where we were last week of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, number one, be strong in the Lord. Number two, We are to be strong in the power of his might. Why? How are we to do that? There in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. And here's the why, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. He's very slick. He's very powerful, as we studied last week. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at him. There's a description there in verse 12 about who he is, how he operates, the battle that we're in the midst of. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's never against a person, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, as we learned last week, because of this reality, these realities that we see prior to this verse, but verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God. Notice the action that is there. It depends upon our action. The victory is given to us through Jesus Christ. The ability to take up the whole armor of God is there because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Victory, power, given to each and every one of us. But there's action that is required. We're not zombies. You know, we still have freedom of choice, and we have this wonderful relationship with God that we walk with him and we listen to him and we talk with him and he talks with us, and he gives us privilege. He gives us opportunity. And so he's saying, take up the whole armor of God. Why should we do that? Again, to, as it says, that you may be able to withstand the enemy in the evil day, and having done all, to make a stand. So we withstand the enemy, we come against them in the ways that we can do that. But we make a stand, and no matter what, we're not going to retreat any further. We're going to make that stand in the Lord, and I believe that's a powerful decision that we make. And then after that, verse 13, or verse 14, he says, therefore, stand, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. I've circled that word all in verse 16, the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Now notice after the whole armor of God comes, he goes back to this very important principle of walking with the whole armor of God and this activity that we can have, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. We are to be watchful to this end with all perseverance. We're to continue to persevere and supplication for all, there's that word again, the saints. And for me, Paul says in a personal note, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Notice his heart. It was to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He's chained up now, and look what he's crying out for, that in it, in my chains, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Today, do we have a desire to speak boldly as we ought to speak? Then, need to understand the whole armor of God. And so there in verse 14, Paul starts out. What I do in my life when I think of the whole armor of God, I start with my head, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girt with truth, gospel there on my feet shod. Then there, because I'm right-handed, I've got the shield in my left hand, and I got the sword in my right hand. And then I'm ready to go into battle. And it's something I believe that we should consider each and every day. So Paul starts out here a little different from head to toe. He starts out with something that is very, very important, having girded your waist with truth. He says, put on the belt of truth. Truth is powerful. Truth, as we will see here just in a moment, is a very powerful thing. He says, stand therefore, stand firm in truth. Don't even go slightly into an area of lie. And we'll see that. Stand in truth. Before the armor could be put on, the soldier had to bind the loose, flowing garments worn by the people of the day, the soldier of the day, so he could enjoy freedom of movement. They had loose clothing. They needed to bring it together, so they would bring it together. They would tighten up that belt. To tighten the belt meant a soldier was ready for duty. And to loosen it meant he was going off of duty. Question for us today, do we have our belts tightened? Do we each day, we may get up and, you know, just, we don't have to have the actual belt, but in a spiritual sense, do we tighten that belt of truth? Wherever I go today, I'm going to speak truth. However I can encourage someone, I'm going to speak truth. And then we're going to talk about what is truth here in just a moment. Paul compared the wide leather belt of the soldier to the belt of truth worn by the Christian who stands literally in the realm of truth. We live and walk and go into battle in the realm of truth. That's where we are to live. What specifically is the belt of truth? What is God's truth that the believer is to put on? First of all, and you'll see it on the screen here so you can take notes, Christ is the truth. We are to put on Christ. The believer is to put on Jesus Christ, and we are to put him on, and that's what we're to walk in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a victory that was given to us on the cross. That is truth in the John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so when we put on the full armor, we are putting on Jesus, the victory that was given to us at the cross. Is that not a powerful thing? Let's try that again. Is that not a powerful thing? That God's only begotten Son came into this world. He became one of us. He walked on this earth and he never sinned. How do we know that? Truth. Truth was given to us. And he went to that cross and he died for us. They placed him in that grave and he rose from the dead to the living and that we might be saved. And how are we saved? Through our works? Okay, say that again. Through our works? Through our morality, I mean morality? No. Through faith? In whom? Jesus Christ. And so we put on that reality. It's very important. If we're going to go into battle, we do that. He is the person we put on. Second, we see the Word of God is truth. The Word of God. The believers to put on the Word of God. We put on the Word of God. Do you spend time in the morning when you get up, you know, at 11 o'clock. No, earlier than that. You got to go early. Okay, you got to go early. But do you put on the Word of God? Do you get into your devotions? Do you study the Word of God? It's very important. The believer is to sanctify or be set apart by the Word of God. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we stand. Amen? Upon the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. All the way through, all 66 books, all the chapters, all the verses, all the words there, the whole Word of God. We stand upon it. We study it. We apply it to our lives. We meditate over it. We memorize it. We stand on the Word of God because, as we see here, it's vital. It's vital for us so that we might be victorious. We gird our waist with truth. And third, we see that we speak and live a life of truthfulness. We live in his truth. We're to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Not only are we not to speak lies, but Paul says there we are to speak truth. Truth is important. It's something that should be who we are. When people that we know and love, when they think of us, they speak, well, they're going to speak the truth. I might not like it, but it's going to be the truth. People that are unsaved should know about us that they what we are going to say. They may not like when we give them the truth of Scripture, but they'll respect us because we will stand and will stand firm upon the truth as we find in Scripture. Are we doing that today is the question. Truth does several things for the Christian soldier. Three things I'd like to note here that'll be on the screen. First, it keeps the believer from being tossed back and forth by every attack of the enemy. That's how important truth is. Keeps us from being tossed back and forth, and we become unstable there in that way if we don't stand upon the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed back and forth, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The truth, as we stand upon it, that's where we stand. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to stand upon this truth, and then I'm not shaken. I'm not beaten back in any way. I'm not in the world, then all of a sudden, of the world in any way. I stand upon the truth. The truth is hard to receive at times, is it not? The Holy Spirit is really good at that. He comes and he speaks the truth. If we will listen to the truth, and then we'll respond to the truth. And so it keeps us from being tossed back and forth. And number two, truth keeps the believer from becoming entangled with the affairs of this life. It will, because we'll be warned by the truth. When we go a way that we shouldn't go, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring a verse to us, the truth that is there, and we go, whoa, thank you, Lord, I'm not going that direction. It's important that we would understand that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And so there are hardships that we will incur in our lives because we stand upon the truth, but it keeps us from being entangled in the affairs of the world. Are there a lot of affairs in the world? There truly are. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of minds that are out there. And truth will guide us through. We'll get confused at times if we're not careful. But then we go back to the truth. Oh, that's the truth. That's Scripture. Then I see my need to stand upon that Scripture and apply it to my life. And all of a sudden, it changes me. It changes the way that I walk through life. That's why we must have the Word of God. Truth there, girded in our lives. And third, truth supports the believer in the battles and trials of life. This is exactly why Paul pointed out this truth, so we would understand that being people of truth would cause us to be victorious in warfare. It's the way we are to go. It's the way we are to live. And the question for us today, are we doing that? As we see here in this wonderful verse, in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Notice in the next thing he says there, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. As you know, the breastplate covered the torso. So it covered the vital organs of the body, the heart, the lungs, and other things, where if they were injured, we could lose our life very, very quickly. The Roman soldier knew this. The breastplate often saved the Roman soldier from being mortally wounded. Likewise, the person who is just or righteous because of Jesus Christ, because he has accepted the righteousness of Christ, will not be mortally wounded in the spiritual warfare in which he is entangled. Again, is there warfare in our lives today? Are we in our flesh unrighteous? Anybody notice that? Does the enemy ever remind you how unrighteous you are? And show of hands, so I'm not left by myself up here, you know? Absolutely. But what does the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, what does it tell us as we put on the breastplate of Jesus' righteousness? It shows us who we are today. Not who the enemy wants to accuse us of being. Not who our flesh in reality is. It's who we are in Christ. This is how our Father looks at us. He sees us in right standing because of what Jesus has done. When a person is saved, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to that person. Or to say it another way, God counts him or her righteous. Praise the Lord. How about a praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. How about a hallelujah? Ron, what do we have after that? You're shaking your head there. You're not saying it? Okay. Never mind. We won't say it because Ron doesn't want us to say praise hallelujah. We won't say that. We won't do that. We are to strive after the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's where we stand. We live righteously in this present world through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through Christ, faith in Christ, that the righteousness which is from God, which is from God by faith." That's how we make our stand today. It's a beautiful thing. Look at that, verse 14. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness," his righteousness that protects my vital organs, "and then verse 15, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I love this one. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's known as the sandals of the gospel. The sandals were a sign of readiness, to march and to do battle. There's two things in the Romans' armor in warfare that gave them an advantage over their enemy. This is the first one. We'll talk about the second one in a moment. These sandals that they wore, it was ingenious. It really was. They simply took their sandals and they drove nails or spikes through them. So then when they went into battle, they wouldn't fall or slip when it got slippery and be on the ground and the enemy could go like that. So they would be in battle all the time and they would place their feet in the ground and they would make their stand. And the enemy at first didn't pick up on this. And it gave the Roman legions great victory. Again, the sandals were a sign of readiness to march and to do battle. Very important. The sign of the Christian soldier is to be readiness. Are we ready today for battle? Well, I guess not. Do we have a readiness to march and to bear witness of the gospel? Do we? Are we ready no matter what to make a stand and share the gospel no matter what, how hard it may be? Wherever the Christian soldier's feet take him or her, the gospel is to firmly ground us in such a way that we can share with the world that is reeling. We can come with the truth of the gospel message. Again, what's the gospel message? John 3:16. Say it with me. For God... Isn't that wonderful? It truly is. Are we ashamed of the gospel? No. Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And so we have our feet shod. We're ready to go. We're prepared to go into battle. And then notice what he says there in verse 16. "Above all," he says, circle that word "all," "taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." All means all. Every single dart that he sends our way. The shield of faith. We know the shield of faith was big. It was very big. Normally it was 4 feet by 2.5 feet. You've probably seen movies where the Roman legions would come together and they put the shield up like this. They have the shield up like this. So the fiery darts that were launched against them or any dart that would come their way, then those shields would protect them in that way. Very, very important. It was used to protect a soldier, as I said, against those arrows. And today it is there to protect us against the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let's just list and consider some of the fiery darts that the enemy can throw our way. He can cause us to question our salvation. How many today know without a single doubt that if you die, you'll go to be with the Lord in heaven by a show of hands? There. You've overcome a fiery dart of the wicked one. If you don't know that, then you're still struggling whether you are saved or not. I'd like to talk with you, or one of the leadership people would love to talk to you and pray with you, that you would know that you know that you are saved. It's important. That's a fiery dart. And so that shield of faith, by faith I know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Today, if we don't stand with that shield of faith, then our call of God can come into question, how he wants to use us. We can question whether we are truly worthy. You know, we aren't worthy, but we are made worthy in Jesus Christ. The enemy comes and says that we really can't serve other people. That person's gift is more powerful than mine. That's a lie. We're to stand against that. To question the project that can it really be done? God has brought us to a point and said, this is what I want you to do for my glory. And then the enemy will come and say, no way, you can't do that. That's impossible. Impossible. We've been praying for that which is impossible, have we not? We're going to continue to pray for that as we get into 2020. That's scary, 2020. I think they should have a TV program, 2020, in that way. Doubts, wonders, depression, discouragement, defeat will come our way. The enemy will send them that way, and we stand with that shield of faith. Just as the soldier could not afford to be without his protective shield at any time, the follower of Jesus cannot for one moment afford to be without faith in God. That shield of faith. This kind of faith in God will quench the darts of doubt and evil that so often attack us. Anybody ever feel like they're under attack? Yeah, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girded with the truth, feet shod with the preparation of God, the gospel, the shield of faith, and what? The sword of the Spirit. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. He is our shield. It's the Lord. And then scripture there in verse 17 tells us, take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet covered the head and the mind of the soldier. The head, of course, was the core of the soldier's power to wage war. His thinking ability, no doubt, was one of the most important factors in determining victory or defeat, as it is with us today. How our mind thinks, where it goes, where we allow it to stand, and all that can affect whether we can go forward as a soldier of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing that God has given to us. Christians must continue to will to serve God in faith if they expect the ultimate consummation of all of his promises. The helmet that protects the mind of the Christian soldier is salvation. The reality of knowing that we are saved and the understanding of what we have in Jesus Christ, because we are saved, is very important. We know that, do we not? Paul said this, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So where we have our mind, it's very important. That's why we get up, we get into our devotions. It sets our mind on the Word of God. We pray, then we know we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We work. We put our mind where it needs to be. We come against all the attacks, the fiery darts of the enemy in that way, because they are there, are they not? They truly are there day in and day out. And then lastly, we see the sword of the Spirit, which we know. We won't go a lot into this because we study this, but the sword was a weapon used for both defense and offense. It was a weapon that was for defense and offense. And it was a double-edged sword. This is the other thing that gave the Roman legions a great advantage back in those days, because they could cut this way and then they could cut that way. And at that point, the other armies did not have a weapon like that. And that was a powerful thing that we see. Today we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it cuts this way and it cuts that way. The sign of the Christian soldier is his use of the Word of God. By living in the Scriptures, he protects himself from the onslaught of the enemy, and he or she fights and wins battle after battle. Today, are we in the Scriptures? Are we bathing ourselves in the Word of God? It's very important that we would do that, but I am a broken record about that, but praise the Lord for that. In closing, now what he does, he presents us the whole armor, and then he says, okay, now this is how it is applied in your life, through prayer. Do you want to walk in the blessings that I have for you? Find the truth, but pray them in to your life. I'm your child, God. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That is amazing. What does that mean, Lord? What can that mean to us? And so what we do is we look at that truth that's in Scripture and we just pray it. That provision, that supernatural provision, we pray it into our lives. Because the proper attitude in battle is just as important as the proper equipment. God reminded the Ephesians of the need for prayer and watchfulness in this spiritual conflict. Paul was telling the Christian soldier of the necessity of always being in an attitude of prayer and having a consistent prayer life. Often we are defeated because we don't pray things through. Gentleman that lived in our house, Mr. Willis, always had this expression, Bill, have you prayed it through? Well, Mr. Willis, what do you mean through? He says, so it becomes whatever it is, it's yours. You pray it through. Helmet of salvation, you pray it through. The promises of God, you pray it through that it becomes yours. That's what Paul's saying. We get our minds set where it's supposed to be because the battle is fierce in this way that we see here. Supplication, Paul points that out, points to special times of need. If Christian soldiers truly practice prayer as a way of life, when the special times of need come, they will be prepared for those special times of warfare. We continue to pray day in and day out. Paul says here to be watchful literally means to be awake or to be alert. Today, are you awake? Am I alert? Am I awake wherever I go, whatever comes my way? You know, am I ready for that? I'm prayed up. I try to pray up constantly in prayer. If something comes my way, you know, that I'm prayerful. Somebody came up before the service and said, would you pray for me after the service? I said, you bet. Let's do that. Somebody up in the first service came up and said, would you pray for my son? I said, you bet. Let's do it right now. Constantly being in prayer in that way. Being watchful literally means, as I said, to be awake or alert. We are not to have a flippant attitude about something as serious as prayer. Remember, we are constantly at war with a powerful enemy, constantly. And then, just five things. I'll go on for 2 hours and 32 minutes on these five things. You guys ready?
Yes.
Thanks, Pam. That's why I put you in the front row here. Five things, very quickly. Concerning a soldier's prayer life. Number one, a soldier must always pray. Always pray. The soldier who is not always praying is not assured of God's protection. This will give the soldier much needed assurance, confidence, and courage. Number two, the soldier must pray in the Spirit. We get our power through prayer as we pray guided by the Holy Spirit. Number three, the soldier must be watchful. In other words, sleepless in prayer. Number four, the soldier, Christian soldier, must pray unselfishly. Paul said, utterance for me. The soldier must pray for those who fight with, or pray for those who fight with them. He or she is not in the battle by himself or herself. I like to encourage us today, every service I'm doing this, there's someone in our family of believers here named Larissa Lovell, and she is in a very strong spiritual battle. I really believe that. Physical things are there in her life too. But would you write down her name, Larissa Lovell, and would you pray for her and intercede for her? She's in the battle with us, but right now there's challenges that are going on. She's a wonderful lady, but there's challenges in this life. And then fifthly, the Christian soldier must pray for leaders. Leaders, their decisions and example often determine the outcome of the battle. Thus, we must pray fervently for them. The whole armor of God. As we walk in the midst of spiritual battle, we need to be constantly putting on the whole armor of God. Amen? Question is, are we doing that today? We can only do this as we are willing to follow God and stand in the victory He has given to us through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we put on the whole armor of God, each piece must be covered in prayer. If we do this, and only as we do this, victory will be ours because of what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, where it says, "Yet in all these things," that word "all," "we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Amen? More than conquerors mean we are victorious in the midst of the battle today.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.